Darren, Donick, and Chase rolling right along here from Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tavern, as the Preds close out the home slate of the preseason tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Darren McFarland has stepped downstairs for morning skate duties. Willie Donick also doing that. So it's just me for a little bit. We say hello to the Athletics' Joe Rexrow. Joe, what's up, my man?
Chase, good to hear from you. A little green-eyed lady coming in, by the way. I don't know if that's Max or who, but two thumbs up from me on that.
Yeah,
one.
Max on the ones and twos back there. He does a good job. He's got a wide selection of music bringing us back.
Very nice.
So I wanted to hit a lot of different things with you because I haven't got a chance to really talk to you in a while, and there's a lot going on in this state from a sports standpoint. And I want to start in Knoxville with the Volunteers, the drubbing that they took from Florida. And we've had a lot of discussion on the show about the state of that football program with Jeremy Pruitt, with Philip Fulmer as the athletic director. And I'll just go ahead and tell you my conspiracy theory. I think Philip Fulmer is the head coach by the end of the season. I just don't see this working. I kind of feel like that, you know, he would never say no to that he almost wants that to happen. He wanted to give Pruitt a shot, but it just hasn't worked to this point because it feels like that locker room is starting to quit on him if they haven't already.
Man, see, this is where I need to, like, resist the urge, because I've had the urge a couple times to be like, if Philip Fulmer coaches this team, I will, you know, like, paint something on my face or whatever. Like, every time I say something like that, I always end up being wrong. Right now, I don't at all think that's going to happen. And I understand the conspiracy theory. I don't think Philip Fulmer, you know, here's my question back to you, Chase. Do you think that would be a move for him to, like, keep the job then and sort of, like, have another shot at, you know, getting the Vols back as coach, or just a short-term move? Because I just can't believe that Philip Fulmer looks at this as, like, he's ready to put 10 good years in and he knows how big the job is of getting this program back. You know what I mean?
I think, and Darren has pointed this out, I think the thing for him is he sees what Mack Brown is doing at UNC. He sees what some other coaches have done that have been out for a while. Herm Edwards is a prime example at Arizona State, that they've been out for a while and then they come back and then all of a sudden, oh, okay, they're recruiting and they, you know, they're having some success. Now, he's in a different position because he's the athletic director. So, honestly, I could see it being a short-term fix. But at the same time, if that is the case, then it's going to be really hard for him to hire somebody outside because they know that, all right, well, Philip Fulmer is going to be breathing down my neck with every decision that I make. So I would almost think if he makes that move, you're going to be stuck with him for at least a season or more.
Yeah, and so if he makes that move, he's also saying, hey, I was completely wrong in hiring Jeremy Pruitt. Sorry. And, oh, we got to pay another guy millions to not work here. So, my bad. You know, like, I suppose if he were, I guess maybe him coaching well is the only way to, like, absorb that. But yeah, to your point, like, who the heck would ever want to work for him again if he chops a guy in year two? You know, I think it's already questionable on that front. And, you know, if you're a Fulmer, you can say, look, I came in and it was slim pickings and the whole search had gone haywire without me. And that wasn't me. And I did the best I could under the circumstances. And Jeremy's just not the guy. And my answer to that would be Mike Leach, like, wanted to come to Knoxville. And, you know, that was a proven head coach who has done really good things at places that don't have resources anywhere near what Tennessee has. And instead you opted for a defensive coordinator who's never been a head coach, who's only been an assistant at programs that have more talent than the opponent 11 out of 12 Saturdays. But I just, Chase, can't believe that Fulmer's going to do this. But you know what? If he does, it's just another shame on you moment for me for thinking that anything's out of the realm of possibility in Knoxville.
Yeah, you can't do it at this point. One more on Tennessee. Do you think Jeremy Pruitt's going to survive? Do you think it's going to work for him?
Well, I don't know about work. I do think he's going to survive this season. And I think he'll, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of, negativity going into next year because he's probably going to go about 4-8 or maybe 5-7 this year. And it's going to be a tough job. And it'll be really interesting to see what he can make of this 2020 class, which right now is right a fringe top 25 class, which in the SEC means you're close to the bottom. I do think he'll survive this year. But right now, my guess on him long term would be that he's not going to make it because, look, the evidence we have to go on is each Saturday, and it's been really disappointing to see how they've played. I mean, last week was disappointing, just the mistakes. And, you know, that's a Florida team that's really not a top 10 team, in my opinion, but they made them look like it. And obviously, Georgia State happened, blowing the game against BYU. You can sit there and blame this player or that player if you want, but that's why coaches make so much money, because it's their job to put them in the positions to make plays and to have them organize and communicate at those pressure moments. And so it's all failing right now. I'm not going to sit here and say, no way does he make it, but it would be a heck of a comeback at this point.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic is here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Now we shift to the Tennessee Titans. It has not been a great start through three games for the Titans as they get ready to take on the Falcons this weekend. They look good against Cleveland. Now, I still was one of those people that was like, all right, the defense got it done and need to see a little bit more out of the offense, but the offense has shown their warts over the last two games. If you had to do an evaluation right now on Mike Vrabel and the coaching job that he has done through three games, how would that go?
Well, I think that certainly the end of the second game was probably one of the biggest miscues, if not the biggest miscue, of his short tenure with the Titans. I will never understand the sort of, you know, wishy-washy attempt to draw the Colts off sides and then stand there and let those seconds tick off under 4 minutes in a game that you're trailing. You cannot make that mistake. And that was crucial. And I put it up there with, I guess, like the Luke Stocker 4th-and-1 dive last year in Houston. I think overall Vrabel's been good, and some weeks very good, but that was very bad. And then last week, Jacksonville has just an all-around bad performance, and you just, I don't know what the adjustments are. At some point, if you're just getting beat that badly on the offensive line, what do you do? At some point, if your quarterback is just missing wide-open receivers 10 yards in front of him, what do you do? So some of that is out of the coach's hands, but you still would have liked to see some kind of adjustment to try to, you know, help the situation. So overall, it hasn't been great. I mean, again, I thought week one was obviously a big win, an impressive win, and I thought Arthur Smith that week had some really great moments. I mean, I think the screenplay to Derrick Henry really won that game. The yeah. Browns were climbing back in. That's a great schemed-up moment. And obviously, it's, you know, it's Derrick Henry, but that's what coaches do, put those players in position to make those plays. But since then, looking for more from Arthur Smith for sure. So this is just for everyone. But I do think, you know, you asked me about the coaches, Chase. I think for them in particular, this is a monster week in Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the, you know, the other part of it is the offense, and Marcus Mariota is where that starts. I thought that Delanie Walker's comments on getting Taylor Lewan back is going to be good, that we love Taylor, but it's not going to fix everything. And I could not agree with that more, because there are bigger issues than just the left tackle being out. Dennis Kelly hasn't done that bad. He's not Taylor Lewan, but it's, you know, that the interior offensive line has been bad. I think Marcus has been inconsistent, which is what we've been saying for the past few years with him. I almost feel like he's playing, and I'm trying to use these words carefully, he's playing a little bit scared in the sense of he doesn't have any time to get rid of the football, so he's forcing plays or overthrowing receivers because he doesn't want to get hit, even though he's getting hit a ton.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, I think in the first half of the Jacksonville game in particular, there were several pass plays where he actually had all day to throw and just missed passes. And I agree with you. I think that at times you can see him sort of bracing for the pass rush, even if it's not there yet. And then, rather than having his eyes downfield and going to read two and read three, he is kind of turtling and either taking a sack or he's running around. But, you know, look, it is a very hard job. It's why they get paid that much. But you've got to be able to stand in the pocket, go through your reads with all that chaos going around you, and deliver the football accurately. And so he's, you know, he is, some of these are self-inflicted. as far as the offensive line, I certainly agree that, I mean, Lawan's not going to fix everything. All you have to do is go back to the Baltimore game last year when Lawan played, when they couldn't protect Mariota. But, and Dennis Kelly, I agree, hasn't been bad, but the Titans have geared a lot of things to helping Kelly. And so now when you can say, okay, Taylor's fine out there, he can take a top pass rusher, and then we can adjust our help to other people, maybe that helps a little bit. I mean, it should help to get him back. It is not, and I agree with Delanie Walker, it's not a cure-all. I mean, Roger Saffold can't get beat like that. You know, Jameel Douglas probably shouldn't be playing anymore, and that's probably going to be the case soon. But some of these are just individual guys getting beat, and everyone has to play better.
Yep, could not agree more. Joe Rexroth of The Athletic. Hey, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to talk to you. I missed you, man. We'll see you at the rink soon, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely, because hockey is here. We'll talk soon.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
That is Joe Rexroth of The Athletic. Does fine work for them. Check his work out at theathletic.com. We will have much more coming in the 11 o'clock hour. Darren and Willie will rejoin the show here in just a few minutes as you listen to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.